and verse 21. But last week, as we looked at the first half of Mark 5, this was the word we were really thinking about, hopeless. We met a man, and that really described his life situation. He was a hopeless case. They called him Legion. He had many evil spirits that lived within inside him. People didn't want anything to do with him. They tried to wrap him up in chains. He lived amongst the graves. People would have stayed away from him. He was a hopeless case in every situation. But Jesus Christ made a difference. Because Jesus Christ was somebody who had love for this man. The kind of person everybody else would stay away from. Jesus loved him. He had compassion on him. But more than just having love and compassion, and those were essential, Jesus Christ had the power to actually make a difference in this man's life. Because Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. That's what we've been seeing as we've worked our way through Mark's Gospel. And Jesus Christ, the one who had power to control nature, to calm the storm in Mark 4, was able to heal a paralyzed man, cast out demons, had the power to cast out demons in this man's life and to totally transform him. What this man, this hopeless case, discovered was his only hope was Jesus Christ. And this week, as we come to the Lord's table and we focus our hearts and our thoughts on that, we want to think about two more people. Two more people, and this word describes them really well. Hopeless. That's what they found themselves in. They were in a hopeless situation. And what they do in this passage we're about to read is they encounter the love of Jesus Christ. And they encounter Christ's compassion for them. But they also encounter his power. Because Jesus Christ is the one who can give hope to people whose situations are completely hopeless. So let's read Mark 5, commencing at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went from him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I'll be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble a teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. So reads God's word. This passage we've just read, commencing verse 21, tells us that Jesus crossed again in a boat to the other side. And he's been going backwards and forwards over the last number of weeks as we've studied this passage. So a few weeks ago, Jesus got into a boat. He wanted to get away from the crowd, maybe have a rest for a while, perhaps to preach on the other side. And he traveled across the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes. And that's where he met this man, Legion, who we looked at last week, the man with the evil spirits. And Jesus had the power to transform this man's lives. But people couldn't cope with that. They couldn't cope with this power that they'd seen, that Jesus was able to transform this man. Perhaps they didn't like the fact that 2,000 pigs went over the cliff face into the sea. Maybe they were worried that they would be affected financially, and they asked Jesus to leave. And so he gets back into a boat and heads back across the Sea of Galilee again, back to the place where he had come from. And when he gets back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he meets a man called Jairus. Now, it tells us that Jairus is a ruler in a synagogue. He's not a rabbi. He doesn't have that religious job. But a ruler was somebody who had responsibility for looking after the building and other things like that there. If you had this role, it was a very significant role in the community. You would have been somebody perhaps of great wealth, the kind of person who could afford a doctor, afford medical care. But we're actually told here that this man Jairus is concerned. It looks as everything is hopeless because his daughter, it says, who's 12 years of age, is at the point of death. The point of death. That phrase, the point of death, really means she's at her last breath. There isn't long to go. And as he looks on, it seems as he looks at this daughter who he loves, who he cares for dearly, that hope has almost gone. She's had her last breath. Doesn't seem as if doctor could save her now. And yet this man has his faith and his confidence that there is somebody who can make a difference. There's a glimmer of hope. There's a man called Jesus Christ. He's perhaps heard the stories of what Jesus has done around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he comes to Christ and he puts his faith in Christ that Christ can perform a miracle and give some hope to his dying daughter. And Jesus agrees to go to her house, but as he travels, he's interrupted. He's interrupted by another hopeless case, or so it seems. There's a lady and she has been suffering for the past 12 years. She's got a disease. She's got a discharge of blood. She's been to see lots of doctors, all the doctors she can find around the shores of Galilee. She's been to visit them, all the experts, all the people who she's been recommended to. This has cost her a lot of money. In fact, it tells her that she has spent all her money trying to find a cure, and nobody can help her. In fact, all these doctors have done have made her a lot worse than she originally was. All her money is gone, and it seems that all her hope has gone. She's not getting any better. The situation's just getting worse. And yet, there's a glimmer of hope. She comes to Jesus Christ, and she has faith that Jesus can make a difference. Maybe she's heard the story of the paralyzed man. Maybe she's heard other miracles. Maybe she's witnessed some of these miracles that we read about. She was there. Perhaps she witnessed them with her own eyes. And there's hope. Because maybe Jesus can make a difference in her life. Now, if you had an issue of blood, that meant you were unclean in the eyes of the Jews. We talked a lot about this last week and the story of Legion about being unclean. That was a big deal in Jewish society. If you were unclean, if you had a discharge of blood, you weren't allowed to mix in crowds. You had to stay away from people. And so this woman is actually breaking the Jewish law of the day by mixing in this crowd who are following Jesus as he comes out of the boat and is walking on the shores of Galilee. But she has this glimmer of hope, and so she goes where the crowd is. And she touches Jesus because she believes that this man is different. This man is unique. This man has power. And if I could only touch him, then I will be healed. And that's what she does. She touches Jesus. And Jesus comes out with this remarkable statement in verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Seems a ridiculous statement. You can imagine this crowd just bustling all around him. And yet, he knows that power has gone from him. Who touched me? This woman knows. She knows that he's speaking about her, that she has that very deliberate touch. It wasn't just an accidental bump, but something very deliberate. She also knows what has happened. Look at verse 29. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She knows she's the one he's touched. But she's also the one who knows what that touch did in her life. It healed her immediately. And so she confesses to Jesus in verse 33. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. It was me. She puts her hands up. Not only is she unclean and shouldn't be in that crowd, by actually touching Jesus, she has made Jesus ceremonially unclean as well. And yet she confesses it to Jesus. And Jesus responds, look at his words in verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith, your trust that I had the power to do something has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And off she went. And she knew in her heart that this man was different. She had the proof. After 12 years of struggling with disease, proof that Jesus is power, that Jesus has the power to heal. He has helped somebody who was hopeless. Nobody else could help, but Jesus gave her hope. And after this, Jesus continues on to the home of Jairus. And when he gets there, he's greeted by a dreadful scene. Look at verse 38. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And the reason they're weeping, the reason they're wailing, it seems very justified because this young 12-year-old girl has lost her struggle against this illness that she has. This little girl has gone. She's died. All hope has gone in this situation. But who is Jesus Christ? Who have we seen as we've worked our way the whole way through Mark's gospel? Jesus Christ is unique. Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. He's somebody who's got power. He's got power to cast out evil spirits. He's got power to heal a woman who's been struggling for 12 years. But incredibly, he also has power over death and to give life itself. Look at verses 41 and 42. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. He has the power to give life. And where was that power? It was in his mouth as he spoke. He said the words, and the girl came to life. We shouldn't be surprised about that, because Scripture tells us that all creation came into being by Jesus Christ. And how did he create this world? He spoke, and everything came into existence. Think of the animals that were given life. How did that happen? Christ spoke, came into his existence. Human beings, just like us. People made in the very image of God. He spoke, and everything was given life and came into existence. And so in this situation, what does Jesus Christ do? He proves that he has power. He has power to give life, even to somebody who has already lost it. What does Jesus also show for this little girl? He shows love, and he shows compassion for somebody who's lost their life, and he shows his power, and he gives hope in a hopeless situation. But here's the truth I want us all to think about this evening. And as we start to turn our minds and our thought towards observing the Lord's table very, very shortly, Jesus Christ is special. He's somebody with power. He's somebody with power to heal, and he's also somebody with power to give life. But the truth is, we all need healing. We mightn't have a discharge of blood that we've had for 12 years. We mightn't be on our last breath like this little girl in the story. The Bible actually tells us that we've got something even worse. And it wasn't something we've had for the last 12 years or the past month. It was actually something that we were born with, sin. In numerous places in Scripture, the Bible actually compares our sin to a disease. It's a fatal disease. It's a disease that affects us all. There's no doctor can heal us. You can spend all the money you want. You can spend all the money you want and do all the things, even trying to remove the guilt of this sin. Nothing will work. In fact, you'd be like this woman, probably worse off. And yet there's somebody with power to give us the greatest healing, to heal us from our sin. Our only hope is Jesus Christ and his love and his compassion for people like us and his power to actually do something about it, to give us eternal healing for our greatest need, for our sin. We're all sick with sin. Here's another truth. We're also all dead. You might be walking about. You might feel great. You might feel dreadful tonight. I don't know how you feel. But you probably think you're alive. Yeah, but for some people, it's the walking dead. The Bible tells us that we're dead in our sins. Until we come to Jesus Christ, we are dead in our sins. You might have physical life, but spiritually you're dead. You're separated from God, and that will keep you separated from God forever and ever. But why did Jesus Christ come? Jesus Christ came to give us life, real life, eternal life, life in all its fullness. He came to take those who are dead in their sins, because our sin is a deadly disease. We are dead in our sins, to come and to give us life, real life, greater life than this little girl experienced, life that lasts forever and ever. Jesus Christ came to heal us. Jesus Christ came to give us real life. And how's that possible? It's possible through his death on the cross. He didn't ignore our sin. He didn't turn a blind eye to it. But he dealt with our sin on the cross, and he took the punishment for it. And that's what we're going to remember as we take the bread and we drink the wine shortly, that Christ paid a great price to deal with our sin and to give us life. And after he died on the cross, Jesus Christ, the one who gives life, rose again from the dead himself as a display of his power, that he is the one who's able to give life to people who are dead. For this man, Legion, the man with all the spirits, his only hope was Jesus Christ. For this woman with a discharge of blood for 12 years, she had only one hope, and it was Jesus Christ. And for this little girl who was dead, her only hope was Jesus Christ. And as we come to the table this evening, that's what we come to remember. We only have one hope, and his name is Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, who has the power to forgive us, the power to change your life, and the power to give us life as well. In a moment, we're actually going to listen to a song. It's going to be on the screen. Don't normally do this. But I saw a song a couple of months ago. David McDermott actually put it up on the internet. And it's an interesting title. It's called Our Only Hope Is You. And it's about Jesus Christ. And it is really powerful words just to remind us of this truth, that we are hopeless unless we have Jesus Christ in our life. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. Let's think about these words as they play on the screen.